friends with brews.
That was a distinctly, what's one word for lack of enthusiasm? Your counting was sorely lacking in excitement, I must say. You sounded like...
Blasé.
You sounded like, oh my God, here we go again.
I've had that kind of day.
Okay.
And I'm drinking decaf today.
Yeah, I noticed that. Why?
Well, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah.
Namely here.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You're one of those people.
Yeah, I know.
That...
I know. You're one of those people who are like, oh, caffeine doesn't have any effect on me. Well, it has effect on me. So yeah.
I'm sure it does have some effect, yeah. But it doesn't keep me awake. Whether or not I sleep as well, I couldn't begin to tell you, but.
Yeah. Anyway, today I have mixed it up. I scoured the aisles at Wegmans and I found a Wegmans specialty coffee. They're decaffeinated Peruvian, nutty with a sweet finish. Unlike my normal go-to stuff, this is a light roast.
Mm-hmm.
But other than the normal Wegmans decaf espresso roast that I get, this was the only other whole bean decaf I could find in the store. So I got it.
Yeah. And whole beans are important.
And it's pretty good.
I don't like those 3/4 beans. I don't like those half beans.
Mm. Do not get a half bean, especially not a half-baked half bean.
Right.
And don't get a half-baked half bean has been, because that's even worse.
I don't get a half-baked bean-baked half potato baked potato. I don't know.
Definitely don't get a baked bean either. But yeah. Anyway, I like it. It's a light roast, which is not my normal thing, but it's drinkable. So it's still, you know, I had a splash of cream in it. So it's pretty good.
I think it should be your normal thing. Here's what I'm having, Peter. I'm having Ferment Brewing Company's El Lager Dorado.
El Lager Dorado?
Yeah, it's a lager brewed with...
It's not the El Dorado. Not
no,
the El Dorado
it's
lager.
El Lager Dorado. That's the name. It's a lager brewed with agave syrup. How do you say that? Agave syrup?
Yeah.
And it says bottom ferment. I really don't want to talk about people's fermented bottoms. But they also have some top ferment beers, too. So they're all into their extremes with their fermenting. It's either got to be top or bottom. Apparently, there's no middle ferment. Is there such thing as a middle ferment beer, I'm asking?
We should probably get someone like a friend of the show, Adam Bell, to answer that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, Peter.
But hey, Scott.
Oh, let me take a sip of this. This is a pretty good lager. I like this. This is a good summer beer. It's a good lager. I don't know if I recognize the taste of agave right away. And there's tiny bit of a sharp taste of something, but it's not too bitter. And yeah, I'm all about this. This is pretty good. This is brewed in Hood River, which is not that far from here. It's not the biggest town in the world, but I guess a lot of people live there now. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay.
They say a crisp, refreshing lager with a special zing. It does have a bit of a zing. I will say they're right about that. So... of all the lagers that I've had in recent times, this is one of the better ones, yeah. I like it. I give it a thumbs up.
Woohoo!
Right into its fermented bottom. That's weird. That's weird.
Well, yeah, I'm glad as you say, up yours, right? Up their fermented bottom.
Who was the guy with the thumb and the plum? Or what was it? Little Jack Plum? I don't remember. Some nursery rhyme. You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
Little Jack Corner.
Oh, you do know. You're ahead of me.
Set in a corner, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That guy.
Brother. All right, so what's going on? We've got our brews. We've established that. We've got our hosts. Shouldn't we? Do we have our hosts? Do we need an introduction?
Yes, you are Peter Nicolaitis. You are a man about town. You are a Bostonian at this point in time. You live in Boston. You weren't born there. You weren't bred there. You haven't had bread there. You have had bread there, I would imagine.
I've had bread there. I've had bread in Boston, yes. Free
and you're an IT consultant.
These days, I don't identify as an IT consultant anymore.
You identify as a security specialist.
I don't do that, actually.
What the hell do you do, Peter?
Yeah, I identify as the founder and CISO of a security consultancy and also as the senior security operations manager and threat intelligence manager for a large hospital.
That's not what I said. Pretty much what I said.
Not at all.
Okay.
So Anyway, yeah. But that said, yeah, that's what I do.
Now you try to introduce me, since apparently I don't know how to introduce you. Let's see how foobar you get with...
Well, you do stuff with nachos and dips and salsa, vinegar, salt.
Right.
You have you put a lot of things on people's shoulders. Yeah. You've got those. Chocolates. You do morsels, little bits of chocolate that you put in cookies. You do a lot of those. Plantains.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right. You
Wow.
Chips. That's what you do. Poker. Wow. You play poker a lot. Yeah. Right. That's not what you. Wait, what do you do?
But you didn't even say my name, though. At least I said your name.
I've called you Scott a few times. I didn't say okay. Wallaby, but okay, fine. You're Scott Wallaby.
Walmsley. Watley. Whatever.
Wisely.
Wisely.
Some people call you Scott Wilsey. And when I dictate, still every now and then, like back in the early days of Siri dictation and stuff, I would say, you know, Wilsey, and it wouldn't get it right. I'll say, you know, Wilsey, and it would be W-I-L-L space S-E-E.
Yes, yes.
I don't think I ever saw it do W-I-L-L space S-E-A, but I could have seen that. I mean,
no, I've never seen anybody misspell my name that way either.
All right.
All right, now that they know who we are, Peter, this podcast is reaching middle age. We are on episode 40 today.
Middle age podcast.
Yeah, and it's time for it to have a crisis. So let's get going on that.
Wasn't every episode kind of a crisis?
Yeah, it's pretty much. We were a pre-middle age crisis right from the beginning.
Crisis.
But I noticed, as I looked at our website, that we have had 97 different brews on this podcast, not counting today's. So 99 now, different brews, including beer, coffee, and tea, in 40 episodes. So 99 in 40. That's a pretty healthy ratio.
So on average, that is usually, I mean, that's like 1.5, well, a little over, it's like 1.5. It's really close to 1.5 beers per episode.
Right.
Yeah. And I think I have to give you most of the credit for that volume, because you are usually the one with two beers, although I have done it occasionally. And I've also had a couple of repeats, and I believe you've had a couple of repeats. But that's an interesting, impressive ratio that we've got racked up there.
Yeah, and I think more often, I think there have been times where I've had a beer plus a coffee more often.
Yes. Two brews. Let's just put it that way. Two brews.
But also, some of the times that we've had Adam on has really bumped the number up. Let's see.
Yeah, but that hasn't been that many.
No, but there was one time where Adam was on and there was like 28 drinks consumed between the three of us. I can't remember. I'm looking for it right now.
We did get a little toasty that time.
Yeah. Oh, here's one. Yeah, it was the one with Adam. Adam had a Tennessee Brew Works Walk the Lime and a Black Abbey Brewing Company, The Rose. You had Trillium Brewing Company's Thresh.
Thresh, I remember that one.
And I had Olali Ale from Groundbreaker Brewing, what do you call? Help. You know what I'm trying to say? Gluten-free.
Oh. Wheat-free, gluten-free.
And I also, during that episode, had an Ex Novo Brewing, the most interesting lager in the world. So there were 5 drinks consumed between the three of us on that episode.
All right, that was a good one. That'll up your numbers. And as we know, more beer is better, right?
Yeah, and I always hear our listeners say, up your numbers. So,
up yours. Yeah,
up yours. Yeah. So I just want to take a little look back and get your impressions of some of your favorites. What were some of the standout brews? Could be beer, could be coffee, could be toffee, could be anything.
I mean, I feel like...
We have a brews page you can go look at.
I was just going to say, I feel like I should be calling up the brews page and see what my favorites were.
I'm looking at it. Yeah.
Obviously, the Omegang Three Philosophers has to be up there.
Yes, yes. That's your favorite of all times.
My favorite of all time, although I don't drink it as much as I used to because it's so strong and I need help, you know, with that.
I need help. Peter, it's good.
I do.
The first step towards recovering from alcoholism is saying that you need help.
Yep. Jack's Abbey Copper Legend is a standout. That's another good one. Yep. Really like that.
Did they give you a free Jack's Abbey copper bracelet to go with your Copper Legend?
I don't believe they did.
Did they send you a copperhead snake?
No.
I hate them.
Let's see. Yeah, there. I'm going over the ones that I like first, right? Oh, Schoffelhofer grapefruit. That's a memorable one. Always like that one.
I like it just for the name. You had me at Schoffelhofer.
Well, you had me at Schaff. Okay, that's good. That's good. Let's see there. I do remember fondly the Costa Rican Imperial. Those were good. I mean, they're not outstanding, but you know, it was a special time, and so
it was a special time with a and yeah.
Yep. Wegmans Distant Horizon, not to be confused with Event Horizon. That was a very good whole bean coffee. I like that one.
Again, with the whole beans.
Burlington Beer Company. It looks like I have not actually tested Mochaccino on this. I have.
No, you have.
Did I have Mochaccino? I had Barista and I had Study Hall, but I don't think we actually had Mochaccino on the episode. Unless it was a long time ago. But I still have one can of Mochaccino.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I should have saved that. Maybe I'll do that for our 50th episode.
I remembered you mentioning Mochaccino, but what you said was lighter than the Burlington Beer Company Mochaccino, but very good. Yes. Yes.
So I've talked about Mochaccino a bunch of times, but I haven't actually had it. So on the podcast.
You're a Mochaccino tease, I think, is what our listeners have said.
Mochatizo.
Mochatizo.
So Mochatizo. Yep. So yeah, there you go. Yeah, so that's what's going on. Those are my favorite beers. What about you? And then let's go to, you know, our memorable but not in a good way.
Our most hated, our most despised products. Well, since I'm going to just look at, I'm not going to list these in any particular order because I'm just going to go through the brews pages. But one of the things I did want to say was I really liked Water Avenue Coffee's River Trip. And Water Avenue Coffee is a coffee roaster that I find to be pretty good, but they haven't traditionally been one of my favorite, but I loved the River Trip. That was super good. So that was one that was a highlight for me.
Okay.
Let's see here. I actually did like Blueberry Boyfriend from Prairie Artisan Ales. That was pretty good. I will look for that again. Last time I was at Whole Foods, I didn't find my Blueberry Boyfriend, but he's out there somewhere and I will find him again.
Does your wife know?
I told her. I said, hey, there's this thing. You can't stop it. There's Cascade Lakes Brewing Company's Salted Caramel Porter. That one's one that I always like. I'm always good with that. Kova Coffee Roasters SO Blend. I love that coffee. Oh my God, I will drink that anytime. I had the Little Beast Brewing Third Bird Oatmeal Stout, and I really liked it. The bad news is, that is the one and only time I've ever seen that at Whole Foods. I don't know where to find that right now. There are other Little Beast Brewing products there, and they continue to be there. But that particular oatmeal stout I have not seen again, and I'm craving a little.
And that's the same thing with Mochaccino.
Yes.
I only found it that one season and haven't found it since. And, you know, they even said they were supposed to be making it this year, too. And I never saw it in stores anywhere. And I looked.
Yep. Ex Novo Brewing, most interesting lager in the world. The one that I mentioned earlier, that one's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and also Ex Novo Brewing's Puff Puff Passion Fruit Sour, which I haven't seen again either. So that might be seasonal or something. I don't know. That one's pretty good.
That sounds like a seasonal thing.
Yeah, they seem to rotate beers anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I've liked most of what I've had from them. And then Rogue's Jam Sesh. I liked that. I have not seen that one again. I have seen lots of other Rogue beers, including the Honey Kolsch, which I also like, and I can get anytime I want. But the Jam Sesh, I haven't seen again, and I would really like to have that again. So I'll just go with those for my favorites. I'll just stop there.
All right. Now, what sticks out the most as things that maybe we could have done without?
Peter, list your shit brews.
Yes, our list.
Yes.
Let me go down the list here. Well, I had a Guinness. I give that a thumbs up. Never mind. Moving on. Hop water. Hop water. Yeah, I don't remember giving it. Did I really give? I might have to go back three episodes back to episode 37.
To see if you gave it a thumbs up.
Oh, that was the non-alcoholic. That was Guinness Zero. That was Guinness Zero.
Oh,
that's
okay,
why.
Okay.
Yes, and I was like, for a non-alcoholic beer, it's not that bad.
Yeah, hop water, you basically gave a thumbs down based on what you said to me.
Yeah, no, it was not. I mean, it was like, yeah, no, just no, just don't.
By the way, sometimes I paraphrase things that you say when I'm compiling our reviews, but I paraphrase myself too.
Yeah, but I mean, we should, but you used to ask me, is it a clear thumbs up or a thumbs down.
That's pretty easy. But if you don't tell me, I go based on your comments.
Yes, fair enough. Fair enough. You know, Jack's Abbey, that guava thing. Eh, I mean, pineapple guava. Not really. Not so much. I mean, most of the beers we've had we liked, which I guess, you know, it's good. We keep it positive when we can.
You have made me want to create a thumbs up or thumbs down filter for this view.
I think we should.
I might look into that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not seeing. Seems like I'm liking most of the beers that I've had.
Well, I think that's because when you go to the store, you have a pretty good idea of what you like, and you try to choose accordingly.
And again, another non-alcoholic option. Yeah.
Who wants to spend money and calories on beer that they're going to wind up hating?
But people give me beers sometimes, and those are often the ones that I don't like. Like Run Wild IPA. I bought that one. Again, Athletic Brewing. That was a, you know, alcohol-free. Yeah, no. Son of Juice IPA also. That one has alcohol. Didn't really care for it.
But what about the Blueberry Matcha IPA? I think that might be the only IPA you've ever liked.
You mean the one from Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah.
Surprisingly good one. Yeah, that one sits out. So yeah, none of the bad ones really stick out. I always think about the one that your wife had, you know, like if I was desperate, that was a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. That's about all I got. Yeah. And they're nothing. The bad ones don't stick out in my mind. And that's good. That means I'm focusing on the positive and that shows progress.
That's right. That is progress. Now that you've admitted that A, you need help and you're alcoholic, and B, you're focusing on the positive. Now that you've stated your negatives, I'm going to state mine. Beerly Brewing's Blackbird Stout, I was really looking forward to that one, and that one turned out to be a disappointment. I really thought this is going to be a good one. The name and the type of beer, it's a gluten-free, but the way they describe it is a malted millet and malted rice for a dark, earthy, roasty flavor, and it really sounded good. But it is by far not the best gluten-free beer I've had. Don't recommend.
Okay. Not the best.
Not the best.
Not the best.
Let's see. What else have I had that I didn't like? Oh, Delirium Red. These Delirium beers, I don't know what is about them, but they've got the whole... What would you say is with these? They're Belgians. How come I always say that like I'm from Kentucky?
Belgians?
They're Belgians, damn it. They're Belgians. And you have said that you like yourself a Belgian red. Am I wrong?
I don't know that I've had a Belgian red. I've had Belgians and I've had reds and I've liked them both. So the odds are I would probably like it, but I don't know.
But this was like drinking cherry syrup. If I had a bad cough, I would expect this to help me with that. That's about the only thing I can say for it. I don't like it. I don't want it. Get it away from me. Is that clear enough? Or
fair enough. I get that. I get that. That works.
Okay. I said it in a manner of comprehensiveness to everybody. I downgraded. I said no. I thumbs down the Bearlick Beer Company's oat soda. If you remember, you and I both had that. I believe that was when you were here. And we had high hopes for that.
Right. But we were not desperate.
And I said to you in the podcast, have you ever had a Pilsner that was better than just okay? I think that Pilsners are a nice beer for a pizza, but not a beer you would just grab. And since then, I've had some Pilsners that I've liked quite a bit. This was not one of them. I just cannot recommend the Bearlick Beer Oat Soda. I'm sorry. Sorry, Oat Soda. Just get away from me.
Sorry, Oat Soda.
Yeah. Very, very sorry. What else have I not liked? This is so hard. Oh, the Rogue. Here's one from Rogue I did not like. Santa's Private Reserve 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've had some... I think every year they have a Santa's Private Reserve, and I think there have been some that I liked. This was not one of them. It said it was aged on rum barrel chips, and I could tell, and as I said in my review, I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. I don't like... things that taste like smoke. I don't like things that taste like wood. I don't like things that taste like a leather chair. I just don't. I'm sorry. I know that some people pay more money for that leather chair taste. If I was a dog...
Pencil lead. Notes of pencil lead. That's my favorite.
If I was a golden retriever, I might want the leather chair, but I'm not.
Yeah. Now, I largely agree with you, but sometimes something like a smoky flavor... Uh-huh. Can pair well with a steak or a burger, for example.
If it's smoky. A smoky burger.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've had like a smoked ale. Okay. I think Jack's Abbey makes one like that. And it's you know, if you just drink it straight, it's like, yeah, this tastes like smoke. That's really weird. But if you have a burger that tastes a little like smoke, that's good. And so if you have a burger with a beer that tastes like smoke, that is also can be good.
All right, I'll just list one more. And this was a disappointment to me, both for the beer itself and for my inability to read. And that was the Cascade Lakes Brewing Company's Pineapple IPA. I saw the word pineapple.
And stopped reading.
Right, and the word IPA right below it that's in slightly bigger letters did not register with me. And so I was so looking forward to it, but it was very much an IPA. The pineapple-y taste was great, but too hoppy. It was disappointing. Can't recommend. Do not want. And as I said, I don't understand the appeal of IPAs, Peter. I still don't. And I said, I bought this because somehow, while I did see and get excited by the word pineapple, I completely missed the all caps IPA right below it. And I could not miss the IPA in the taste. Maybe I missed it on the label. Didn't miss it when I took the glugs of the beer. So that's that.
There you go.
That's it. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for putting up with us.
Hoof.
Peter says hoof. Peter,
hoof.
Is that a cloven hoof, or we're getting into dietary restriction territory here? Okay, so Peter, what the hell, dude? You went to Puerto Rico. You didn't even say you were going. I didn't even know you were going.
It was kind of an impulse.
I guess, but it was like,
hey, let's go. We got out of town for 5 days. It was fun.
Yeah, I suddenly realized I don't think Peter's going to be podcasting this week because he seems to be in a different country.
But I wasn't. I was in a protectorate of the U.S. I mean, so.
I don't care if they say, when America says something is its protectorate, that means we're squeezing it to death in the most loving way possible.
Yeah, I liked Puerto Rico. People are nice. Yep. The temperature, it was a little hot. It was a little unseasonably hot when I was there. It was in the high 80s and 90s, which was a little warm.
Did you wear one of those bikinis that you were talking about the Germans wearing?
No.
Because it was so hot?
Oh. No, I did not.
Okay.
I wore, I bought a nice white linen shirt, and I had a nice Colombian hat.
Oh, my God.
So I went native-ish.
Was your girlfriend suitably impressed? Did you look suave?
I looked suave and deboner.
Deboner. There's so many jokes I could make about, do you really want to be deboner when you're on vacation with your girlfriend? But I'm not going to.
But you kind of just did.
Let's move on as rapidly as possible. What did you do while you were there? Did you do any of the same things that you did the first time?
No, this was Puerto Rico, not Costa Rica.
But did you do any similar things?
Yes, that is. The answer to that is yes. We went sailing, which is something that we had done on both sides, both in Costa Rica and Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of dining out. We saw a flamenco show with an amazing guitarist and dancers. That was a lot of fun. We went running around the whole island is essentially, was built up to be a giant fortress in the 1800s, which is kind of cool.
Because they were awaiting America's loving embrace or some other reason.
Well, I mean, they were awaiiting liberation from the Spanish, there you go. So, but we also went power snorkeling. And, that's
power snorkeling.
Yeah, that's when you breathe, you take a deep breath, you go underwater and you just exhale as hard as you can.
Oh, I thought it was when you put on your mask and said, we're going snorkeling.
Not really. Yeah, and we're going to mean it. No, it's actually when you use a power-assisted little impeller. So you get this little thing.
That is cool.
It is cool. It is cool and it's a lot of fun.
That sounds like my kind of snorkeling.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. And, it was like my girlfriend was looking at the thing. And as we were getting ready, she was like, we should see if we can get one of these on Amazon. And, for a minute, I was tempted to buy one of those things because they are really cool. But I'm like, where am I going
to
use it?
I was about to say, what's the river that goes past your house?
I'm not going to jump out into the Mystic River and go snorkeling in that. Although Upper Mystic Lake, it's only 3 miles away and it is connected. I could kayak up there.
You could.
Jump out, snorkel around in there.
Yeah.
So it's possible for sure. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun zipping around underwater. It was like, if you saw, I know you don't watch the Marvel movies, but some of our listeners may, Wakanda Forever, the second Black Panther movie, there's a scene where the, you know, one of the heroes is using something like this. You get underwater and it just pulls you along. And this was fun. It was a really fun thing. So
how much would it cost to buy one of these impellers? I imagine that a decent one is not that cheap.
Amazon's got them for like under $500.
Are they gas powered? What are they?
Battery. Electric.
Oh, excellent. Nice.
Yep. Electric rechargeable. And they make them, you know, faster. The ones we had, I think, were probably plenty fast. But yeah, zipping around in the lagoon, we saw a barracuda that lives there.
I was about to ask you, what kind of creatures do you see when you go snorkeling in Puerto Rico?
Barracuda, sea turtles.
So did the barracuda approach you?
No, it was just like, oh, F off, and it went the other direction.
Okay, that's good.
The sea turtles, however, were like, yeah, we're coming up for air, get out of our way. And then came up, took a little sip, and then bobbed back down again and stuff. So yeah, no, it was a lot of fun.
Nice. Well, it is their house.
I get that. I get that. So we tried to give them their space, you know?
Yeah.
So, yep. But yeah, power snorkeling. That was a lot of fun. You know, and then just checking out local food, the signature dish, mofongo. It's made out of plantains and maybe shrimp or chicken or beef. Had that a few times. That was really good.
Plantain chips?
Nope. Mashed. Savory. But you can also get, I forget the name of it, but they also make a version with the sweet plantains.
I was going back to your incorrect introduction of me.
So it's like a sweet plantains with mission.
With the plantain chips thing.
It was yummy. It's pretty good. Yeah, well, I mean, chips. You're the chips guy, so yeah.
Good. That sounds amazing.
Yeah. No, it's fun. Pretty affordable too. I think, you know, on generally like maybe cheaper than Boston for most things. Like food anyway.
Oh, well, God, I hope so.
But everything's turning, yeah. Well, I mean, I thought Costa Rica was comparable when I was there.
To Puerto Rico or to Boston?
To Boston, in price wise. Yeah. So, but definitely, at least, you know, again, we were only in Old San Juan, so, you know, in the capital district. Seemed to have, like, you know, all the same modern conveniences as Boston, with most of the cool, fun-to-do things and tropical, you know, climates of Costa Rica. So, kind of cool. You know, I liked it.
I think one of my friends that I haven't talked to in many years, and I would love to figure out how to get a hold of again, I think my friend John Grace's wife is from Puerto Rico, I think. Yeah, I gotta find that guy. John, if you're out there and for some reason you're listening, give me a call. I'll post my phone number on the internet for you. That sounds amazing. That sounds great.
Yeah, it was fun. It's a 4-hour flight from Boston.
Costa Rica, we agreed you could buy some property there.
Yes.
And be El Gringo non grata. But
absolutely.
Could you do that in Puerto Rico?
I didn't look seriously at properties, but I took a couple of real quick looks because, you know, I always do that whenever I go somewhere. Apparently, a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, found a couple of 2-bedroom things that they looked like, I think they're probably cheaper than the Boston area.
Again.
But again, not saying a lot. There's only two markets in the U.S. that are more expensive than Boston. So there you go.
Yeah. Two things Peter's known for whenever he goes anywhere is looking at the alcohol by volume content and looking at the land prices.
And the ABV on those beers was relatively low.
Again. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's a summer. It's a hot climate kind of thing.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that in countries like that, where it is catering towards, I imagine that there's a lot of people drinking beer throughout the day. So probably the lower alcohol by volume beers are a better idea.
Yep. And again, you know, they do the good old, you know, evening party thing. Like every day at the end of the day, in this, at least in this neighborhood we were in, you know, the bars are all out and the people are out in force doing, you know, doing their end of day drinking and stuff. It was fun.
Wow.
The rum, you know, for whatever reason, rum's pretty popular down there. I don't know if you knew that.
I've heard something about that. Did you partake of rum?
We did. I did. Not straight. I thought about going on a rum tasting, but we didn't actually do that. But went and tasted, you know, different rum drinks. And at one point, my girlfriend got a Cuba Libre, which is like, you know, rum and Coke, right? And she gets it and she takes a drink. She hands it back to the bartender and she's like, there's too much rum. So the solution was for her to sip a little bit and the bartender poured more Coke into the thing. Yeah. I was like, yeah, you don't. that you don't say that.
I mean, she is the one that has to drink it.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, normally that's not a complaint that people have. It's usually I can't taste the rum.
Yeah, he probably thought, what is wrong with these people? But, you know, that's his problem, not hers.
Yep. So, anyway, yeah, there you go.
What else is new with you?
You put something in about Jurassic beer.
Yeah, Jurassic beer. And I don't know anything about this. My brother just sent me this picture, and I don't know. I want to find the article that's associated with it. But this microbiologist, it says he awakened yeast that was 25 million years old and had been imprisoned in amber. Then he later co-founded a brewery which produces beer with a kind of yeast, Peter, that is 45 million years old. So you can, I don't know if that sounds appealing or not. Does that sound good to you?
I mean, I don't know. What's the shelf life of yeast? If it's 45 million years, then sure, why not?
It's at least 45 million years. Yeah, we know that now.
Let's try it.
But you have to put it in amber, though. You can't just stick it in a jar on the counter.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe I should have some of the yeast I have in my freezer right now. I should just stick it into, stick it in amber.
Yeah. Go find yourself archaeologist, microbiologist, geologist, whoever can provide you with amber that you can inject your yeast into.
What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing. You might one day find velociraptors bursting out of your cabinet.
There you go.
Yeah, anyway, I thought that was pretty fascinating. You know what let's do? Let's see if we can track this stuff down and order some. I'm serious.
I know, that sounds like fun.
Okay.
Shouldn't be that hard. I mean, he's got his logo and everything right on the beer.
Yeah.
San Francisco, what does it say? I can't read this. The
font's
pretty small.
If we can't, anyway. But Peter, if between you and I, if we can't figure out how to find this guy, let's just quit the internet. Let's quit our jobs because clearly we don't deserve them.
Because we can't internet.
Oh yeah, we can't even.
San Francisco East Bay.
Okay.
Year old yeast beer. 45 million year old yeast beer.
There's a slight difference there, Peter.
Well,
that would be funny if they did sell, here's some year-old yeast beer, and right next to it on the shelf is 45 million-year-old yeast beer, and there's nothing in between.
Well, you know, you're the one who missed the word, you know, the big giant IPA on the pineapple, right?
That's true. Yeah.
I missed the 45 million part, but...
No, I was just laughing because it made me think, what if they sold both and there was nothing in between?
So, I don't know if you caught this. Apparently, this was covered in Wired magazine in 2009.
Oh, okay. I'll go dig under my bed for that issue.
But then again, the California Sun covered it again in 2021. So, and also it was covered in 2017 and 2016. So it looks like this comes and goes.
Well, you can't just crack open any rock and find a bunch of amber containing 45 million year old yeast, Peter.
I mean, maybe he's making it again and again, right? I mean, maybe he makes it regularly.
But how? There's no way he has samples enough that he's just cranking out huge batches of this stuff.
Well, it's reproducing, so sure. Once you make it, you have the yeast, you can keep reusing it and stuff.
But is that the same as saying that it's 45 million-year-old yeast?
I mean, you take the yeast, it reproduces, so...
Yeah, but that's brand new yeast.
Right, but it's also, you know...
Maybe daddy's 45 million years old, Peter, is what I'm saying.
Bingo.
But child ain't 45 million years old.
Right. No, child is, you know, 45 seconds year old or something.
Right. You can't sell that particular beer as 45 million year old yeast beer. That's
it's
what I'm saying.
Derived from 45 million years.
Loosely related to. Well, let's track him down and we'll see what we can do.
I mean, if he's still around, I'm still finding these. I'm doing real time research here, and I'm not finding it. But I'll search. We'll find out.
He's microbiological. It might be hard to find him.
Fossil Fuels Brewing Company.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
And it looks like their website has gone down.
Oh, yeah, he ran
because
out of
you
amber.
Go there and it redirects to an IP address in Thailand.
Please don't say Russia. Okay.
Nope. It's Thailand and it's trying to take over my browser. So
yeah,
okay.
Get rid of that.
Think we're done. I'm not going to try to buy this. I'm not buying anything from this website.
I hope you had maximum malware protection loaded at the moment.
Maximum.
Type cookie, you idiot.
There's a new virus in the database.
What's happening?
It's replicating, eating up memory. What do I do?
Type cookie, you idiot.
I made my username is password, so it's easier. That way I just have to type password twice.
Okay, let's talk about, speaking of cookie, you idiot, let's talk about AirPods Pro, because that is a segue.
Yeah, AirPods Pro, you idiot.
It's a segue.
A segue, yes. So, as you know, I had many problems with AirPods. Turns out it was just Apple Bluetooth. I had, over the year or so, the last year plus, had some issues with my AirPods Pro, first generation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they wouldn't charge right. Sometimes one of them would just get hot when it wasn't charging.
In the ear?
No.
Oh, in the charger.
When it was in the charger, but not charging. So it was just using, you know, dissipating heat instead of actually, you know, like storing the energy or something. Hot enough, like the whole case would get hot as a result of that. So I was like, okay, that's not cool.
Okay, I have a question for you, and I'm sure that the answer is no, but just for a listener's benefit. When those things happened, did you examine both the stem of the AirPod and also down in the bottom of the case to make sure there was nothing in there interfering?
No gunk and something
right,
like that?
Right,
yeah,
right.
No. No, because usually, well, that's the thing is, like, the problem would eventually fix itself, but not always. It wasn't always fixable by just reseating the thing and closing the lid, right? So sometimes I'd have, like, problems for a day or two. And then, so recently, the cheapest I'd ever seen the AirPods Pro second gen was, you know, $200, and one of those sales came around again a few weeks ago. So I was like, all right, fine, I'll cough up the money because, you know, who knows, these guys are... Yeah, they act a little bit weird every now and then.
Hey, if you're coughing, I've got a Belgium Red for you that might help with that.
That's awesome. Belgium Red cough syrup. Well, now what's going on is the one on the left that was most recently having problems has an audible humming noise coming out of it.
Oh.
So if I put it in my ear, first off, there's a little bit of a static crackle.
Yeah.
Crackly
sound. Yep. That's a known issue.
Yep. But also, it's not doing it right now, but when I first noticed it, it sounded like if you ever had water in your ear or your sinuses and you hear, like, it sounds almost like a metallic echo quality, it would do that. And I didn't even check to see if it persists along with pass-through transparency or with noise reduction.
Oh, I was going to ask you, is that with it on noise? Is it worse with noise reduction or doesn't matter?
Same. It's unchanged. So this left one is shot.
But what about the middle setting where it's neither transparency nor?
Yeah, I didn't actually try that, but I can because I can go into my settings and turn off. And when I turned it, when I turned it off, it's quiet.
Yeah, see, it has something to do with it's attempting to correct the sound for you and it's failing miserably.
Yep, and it's failing. Yep. So anyway, the solution is I just use it one at a time with no... Oh, nope. It's starting to do it again now.
Oh,
it's starting to do it again.
So
what I've been doing is just using the right one and I'm using it like here. It's my computer AirPod now.
Okay.
So I just leave this one here at my desk. I don't pair it to the phone or the iPad or whatever. I just leave it here.
How sweet. You gave your computer an AirPod.
Yep.
You love your computer.
And that's generally what happens. As my one, you know, my earbuds tend to fail one at a time, I will leave its non-failing, you know, the one that's doing all the work, I leave that one at the computer. And that way I can hear myself speaking easily and not have to have something in both ears.
Okay, so what do you think of the AirPods Pro second gen compared to the AirPods Pro first gen?
Honestly, I haven't noticed... You know, it's a typical Apple incremental change. Now, here's the thing. I had mentioned this to you, I think. Maybe it was to Adam now. I don't remember. I had not really been stuffing these things really deep into my ear. And therefore, I never really appreciated the noise-canceling features of the AirPods.
Yeah, yeah.
So I only found out recently, like just before I went on the flight, that you really got to jam these suckers deep into your ear, in my ears anyway. And that makes a world of difference.
If the size of the tip that you're using happens to mesh really well with your ear, you don't have to jam it in that hard. The point is you have to get a pretty good seal. And for you, for whatever reason, it requires jamming it all the way into your ear.
Exactly. But once I do that, the noise canceling is amazing. Now, the problem is I never had a working pair of AirPods Pro first generation now after I had made that discovery. So I can't...
To make a comparison, yeah.
And I can't do that now because it half works and half doesn't.
Well, so, I will tell you, that's true, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. But I think it is pretty good. I do love the AirPods again now. And I'm even using them, you know, like for everything. I use them for my runs. I use them for my, you know, at the desk and just listening to music. My girlfriend has recently discovered South Park. And so she loves to just, you know, work on that or watch that all day. And she is rather loud when she laughs. So, you know, so I'll just put on the AirPods and put them in noise reduction mode. I still can hear her, but it's not that bad. Not that bad. So
I was going to say, I like her already. And then you're trying to shut her out. Jeez. It's okay.
So, yeah, I like the AirPods Pro. Would recommend, would buy again, have bought again.
Okay. Good. Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with the noise canceling too. There are times where I'm wearing them and listening to a podcast, and whenever I have them in my ears, they're generally in noise canceling unless I'm outside running, and then they're in transparency mode.
Yep.
But I will be grinding coffee or something, and I'm like, is this noise canceling really working? That sounds pretty loud. And then I take them out of my ears and I realize how loud that coffee grinder we have really is. And it's like, okay, it was actually doing a pretty amazing job.
Yep. Yeah, that's where I noticed it too, is like even grinding the coffee, like, yeah, I can hear the coffee grinder, but it is nowhere near,
yeah,
you know, as noticeable. So yeah, it works well. It works well.
I can do things like if I have the faucet running and mm-hmm. I turn my back to it, I could forget that I had the faucet running. Like I won't even hear that anymore. I could totally mm-hmm. forget and leave the water running if I just turned around and forgot what I was doing and wandered off.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, it made a huge difference on the flight. Too. That was nice. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. really shoving the and then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, everything's quiet.
Yeah, there was a DC-10 or something that we flew on one year that I wished I would have had those for because the engine was very cyclic. It was like it made me nervous too. It's like, should that be that way? But anyway, whatever vibration it was. And yeah. I don't know how much of that would have been noise canceled because some of it was vibration, but I think it would have helped yep. quite a bit.
I flew on a DC-9 once also. I don't remember where I was going, but man, that thing was not pressurized right. I had such an earache after that. It was insane.
Is that what it is, DC-9? Am I wrong about DC-10?
No, I flew on a DC-9.
Yeah, I said DC-10, but there's probably no such thing. Oh, there is a DC-10.
I mean, I think there's both. Yeah, I think there's both. DC-9
it's a tri-jet wide body. But the DC-9 is the one I was thinking about. That's the 5 abreast single aisle aircraft. That's right. It's 3 on one side and 2 on the other. That is the one I was thinking of, yeah.
Yep.
DC-9.
Yep. First flight in 1965. Only made 976 of those.
And I think they were all made in 1965, too. Every single one of them. Because the one I flew on sure seemed like it was from 1965.
Yep. Dangerous reputation. Oh, good.
So. Yeah, it precedes it. Your dangerous reputation precedes you.
Nice.
All right, Peter. Oh, well, I appreciate boy. It. I think we can probably call it a day.
Put a pin in this one?
Yeah, I think we can put a pin in our middle-age crisis here.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Okay, Peter, can you punch our big
red
button